Today's guest, Melinda Green, has served with the County of Santa Barbara, I have for 22 years, but it must be closer to over 25 years.
29 years.
What? 29 years. Well, you know, if you look at your photo online, it doesn't look like you could possibly have been working for the county that long. She obtained her certified public accounting license and then a CPA, certified public, that is a CPA, then a certified public finance officer. And she switched the career path and worked in information and technology, managing software development. She's an assistant department head for the clerk recorder, assessor, managing hall of records, certified appraiser, and public information officer. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Melinda Green with an E.
Yes, thanks for having me.
It's good to talk to you again. There's I found a Catherine Green with an E. Are you related to her?
No.
She financed...
Green's a common name.
She financed Eli Whitney when he invented the cotton gin. She was a plantation owner.
And
I was just reading about Eli Whitney for some reason, and there was your name, Green, with an E. So are you Santa Barbara County Assistant Department Head, Clerk, Recorder, Assessor? So
I'm a chief deputy clerk recorder assessor. They just changed our classes. They did a management study and they retitled us.
Oh.
But I report to Joe Holland, our elected official.
And is that new title on your email signature line? Will I see it there?
It might be.
Okay.
It depends on what I'm doing. I usually call myself the chief deputy clerk recorder when I'm doing clerk recorder business, but I do admin for the department.
Well, you'll have to email me that so next time when I introduce you, we'll get it correct. And of course, the assistant department head, I don't know, did you watch the TV show The Office?
No.
Oh, well, there was a running joke that Dwight kept saying he was the assistant department head, and he was corrected saying, no, you're an assistant to the department head. You're not the assistant department head, but you're an assistant to the department head.
No. I'm not his assistant. I don't keep his calendar. I head our finances, for example. I run the Hall of Records. So in today's context, I'll be answering questions regarding recording.
Right. And the county recorder is responsible for what?
So we record all the land records and the vital records for the County of Santa Barbara. So vital records being birth, death, and marriage. And land records, we provide the archives to give everyone constructive notice for title. So anything related to real estate that there's a provision in the law to record, we record that.
Okay.
So it gives everybody an understanding of who owns what property and if there are any liens against those properties.
Okay, so I wrote down land records, then I wrote down vital records, birth, death, marriage, and the third one is called what?
Birth, death, and marriage are vitals, and then land records. Those are the two main. We also do different professions like notary, oath, and legal document specialists. We do different. We probably do about 200 services, but most people understand us in the relation of vitals and land records. We also do the marriage licenses for the county. So we
serve as
the Deputy Commissioner of Civil Marriage.
Is there such a thing as a civil marriage?
Yeah. In terms of it's not a religious marriage, it's civil.
The vital records, birth, death, marriage. When someone dies and they don't report it to you, do you find out about it?
Yeah. So what happens is the public health department reports it to us. And then we record it because we issue copies into perpetuity for that death. So we're not the registrar of the death. That's public health. And then also the state, California Department of Public Health, has a copy of that death record. So you can obtain copies forever either from your local recorder or from the California Department of Public Health. And temporarily, you can obtain a record from the local county public health, and they're the ones that are initiating the record and sending it to us to record.
And this is assuming one dies in California. If one owns a property in California and they die in another state, you don't know about it.
Yeah, we don't necessarily. So we only have our records for deaths that occur within the county of Santa Barbara.
There you go.
So even if they were in Ventura, we wouldn't record it. So our property program in the assessor's office, they understand that there are other means of being notified separate from our local clerk recorder records.
I'm bringing this up because when someone dies, their property gets reassessed, and unless they've filled out paperwork to leave it to one child and it was their primary residence and they're leaving it to their one child as a primary residence, kind of Prop 19 thing, they can keep the tax base. But if that paperwork's not filed, am I correct that when someone dies, even if they sell the house a year or two later, the tax is reassessed on the as of the date of death?
Well, it's complicated, and that's all on the assessor side, so I don't answer questions about reassessment. I do answer questions about recording, and oftentimes when people die, there's an affidavit of death recorded, and we pass those documents along to the assessor as part of a nightly transfer. They are aware of documents that are recorded
okay.
with us that might affect the change in ownership, so we pass those along.
Well, you know,
but
what?
Yeah, for sure, there are different families that maybe don't tell the assessor, and it's up to the assessor to do that research. But they would be the better people to answer the question.
I went off on a tangent, and I guess we'll have to have Joe Holland on, or what about Michael Daly? I mentioned him. He was speaking to the MLS, and I was going to reach out to him. Would he cover that?
He is the chief deputy appraiser for the assessor's office, and Michael answers many questions about Prop 19 or change
okay.
of ownership.
Okay. Well, we'll have Michael on. We're going to focus in on something here. Melinda Green with an E, whose title I can't remember now. What's your title again? I've got to write this down.
Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder Assessor.
Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder Assessor. Well, you guys have the longest titles of anybody in the county. I just don't understand it.
You can thank HR.
So I want to thank Melinda Green with an E, Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder Assessor. Because she gave me the link. So at the end of every week on a Friday, I have it on my reminders, and I go over to it, and I just click with my cursor, and boom, it opens up. And boom, I type in my name, and within 10 seconds, I can see that the last recorded document was when I know it was legal, and I know no one's stolen my title. Now,
that's right.
Santa Barbara.
And that's a good thing to do.
Well,
honestly, because you're protecting yourself. You know what's recording in your name. And I know there are a lot of businesses out there that sell a service to do this. But like you just said, I mean, it takes me about 10 seconds as well. And you can have it kind of set up in your favorites. And you can go to our index online and you can search your own name or however you hold title. So you might hold it in a trust name or LLC, what have you. As long as you're searching how you hold title, that will give you the latest index, and we update that daily. We're updating it actually throughout the day, and we always record same day and update our index that same day.
What would be the latest?
We're required to do it in 48 hours, but since I've been there, they have always updated it the same day.
What would be the last...
So late at night.
Time. What would be the last day of the time on a Friday? If I'm checking every Friday, should I wait till 5 p.m. or by 4 p.m. you're all done? Or?
Yeah, typically it updates by 5.
Okay, so that's when I check. And everybody, go to radiorealestate.com, go to the podcast link, and there at the top is the link. Check your own title and, you know, click on it, save it, and do it every week. Unless SB 255 comes along and we get what we really want, what I really want is for this to all be electronic, and anytime records anything, anybody records anything, the title, the owner of record should get a text or an email. That's what I'm looking for. Now, what's this SB 255 being proposed? What's that about?
So it actually requires it to be by mail, not by email. It does give us the authority to establish a notification program that's electronic. But I think what the legislature decided is they felt that that a mail to address with physical mail was safer, because you know, we all get so many emails, and what's scary too with emails is the ability to spoof a government entity with those emails, and just the ease with AI of being able to send mass amounts of email. They felt that the mail would be safer, and this SB 255, if it passes, will require us to establish a notification program before January 1st, 2027. Our board will have to adopt a resolution creating the program and requiring us within 30 days of recordation of a deed, a quitclaim deed, or a deed of trust. Many people know deed of trust as a mortgage, that we notify by mail the party or parties executing the document. And the key also with this bill is that we need to use the assessor's records to determine who the original owner was. One of the things that we were concerned about, if there is a notification program and you're recording, if you basically put, if you're committing fraud, you're probably going to put a false address as well. So if we had just notified the executor and the mail to address on the document, that might go also to the fraudster. So they were very careful in designing the legislation for us to refer to the previous owner and the mail to address that's part of the assessor records. So it does take, you know, coordination between the assessor and the recorder. The bill also requires that we can require an APN to record. That's the assessor's parcel number. Right now, if you record a deed of trust, which is kind of what people think of as a mortgage in California, there's no APN required. And this bill would change that and give the recorder the right to refuse recording unless we have that. Because
yeah, but what does that do? I mean, anyone can get the APN number.
That's the connector that we would go check the assessor roll data, and then we would notify the existing owner that the property had changed hands.
Well, geez, it's about time. I would have thought they would have required the APN number all along. That's interesting. Now, as you're going along,
it was required on deeds, but not on deeds of trust.
Gotcha. My guest, Melinda Green with an E. She's the Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder Assessor, Santa Barbara County. When you started to talk about mail versus email, I'm thinking I want an email or a text, and you had an argument with phishing and fraud on email and text, but I'd still prefer that. I'd prefer it quicker, within 30 days. At the end of 30 days, how many deeds, quick claim deeds, and deeds of trust does the county record? How many letters are you gonna have to send out? It's gonna be massive.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an undertaking. When we first looked into creating our own fraud notification program, because obviously, you know, people have requested this. It was going to be about $56,000 to implement. It was called a fraud guard program that our existing system uses, that's part of our vendor that we use for our recording system, and then the mail costs and the labor. And basically, we are not sufficiently funded to even, you know, cover our costs for basic recording. You probably don't know this, but we haven't had a raise since 2010.
Well, that's why you insisted. That's why you insisted.
15 years.
That's why you insisted on me paying you for this interview.
No, all interviews are free. But the problem there, in you know, that many counties obviously had some interest in doing a notification program, but we're not funded on our basic services. So until we correct that, you know, there was really very little ability to manage a program. Like
now, this $56,000, was that going to implement the program, and then there would have been an ongoing cost to mail?
No, that was the annual cost.
That would be the annual cost, grand a month.
I mean,
so what is going to cost? How many deeds of trust and deeds and quit claims, ballpark? How many letters are you going to have to send out every month?
I'd have to look that up. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I would say.
I mean, is it hundreds, thousands?
We won't
quote you.
Probably. I would say probably over 30,000, maybe 35,000.
No way.
A year. A year.
Okay. So
that's, then we're less than 3,000.
That's almost 100, you know, a 100 a day or 20 work days. That's a lot. That's 150 per work day.
It's a lot. I mean, our volume changes regularly, and obviously, if we see a dip in price,
if they're giving you
a lot of refinances. But
if they're going to give you the authority, to establish this, doesn't mean you have to. But the state can give you.
No,
the authority.
It requires us.
Requires
it
you.
Requires us to establish a program. The law requires us to establish a program on or before January 1st, 2027, and that we have to take it to our board of supervisors to adopt a resolution to establish the program.
Well, they're going to have to raise the parking price to pay for it.
It also gives us the ability to charge a fee to pay for the program.
To charge the homeowners a fee?
Yeah, so basically anyone recording a deed or deed of trust could be assessed an additional fee that
let me ask you this, is it a definite that you're going to go with the mail versus email or text?
It's a definite that we have to go with mail if this bill passes the way the bill is written. It is an option to create a electronic notification program.
I will tell you, I interview the Pacific Legal Foundation, a group of lawyers that try to fight for property rights throughout the country. And Santa Barbara County, I've interviewed Joe Holland about this, the county assessor. I don't think it's ever happened here, but if people don't pay their property taxes, some counties take the house, and then they'll sell it, usually under market, and then they'll keep all the funds. They just don't give the money that the tax is owed. And they steal all this equity. And this happened to someone because the county was mailing letters to a property that was basically vacant. It was a commercial property. So that's a downside of mailing, because what if the person, you know, moved out of town and they changed, and somehow you don't have that. But if you have a phone number or an email, I don't know. I would, if we had a vote.
We don't always have the phone numbers. Is the issue, and that's not part of the code section, is to require the individuals to give us the phone number.
And like you said, you could get a fraudulent address. You can get a fraudulent email if you don't know for certain. It seems like, anyway, that's my two cents. I would love to see it electronic. It would save.
Another concern that's come up is that if we have an electronic program that you sign up for, someone else could potentially sign up for it, claiming that they're the owner, and use it as a stalking mechanism.
Right.
So these are things that we always balance. We flesh out what are the risks and the securities that we need to consider. One thing that our assessor's office does, and I don't think all counties do this, but they require the property owner to show ID when they change their mail to address. And the reason they do that is because in other fraud cases where, you know, they were notified that the property had changed hands, the fraudster had impersonated that owner and they had changed the mail to address. So the rightful owner was never getting the notification.
Hmm.
So that's a key, is making sure that you're dealing with the true owner using that mailing address. Whether or not we choose to do the email notification, it's permissible, but it's not required. But the mail piece is required by law in this.
And then you'll tack on for every recording, you'll tack on some fee, $10 or whatever, it's $20 to get this letter out.
Yeah, we'd have to do a fee study, and that fee study would have to be evaluated by the auditor controller. And then it would have to be adopted by the board.
Oh boy!
So,
and then you're going to have to probably
do this fee study unless the bill passed.
And then you'll have to probably hire someone to do this alone. You don't probably have the staff time to handle that right now. So it's going to be a big
we'll
fee.
We'll have to see, you know, how much time this will take. I certainly understand how people are very concerned with fraud. And, you know, there's a lot of third-party businesses out there telling people that they're going to protect their property, they're going to notify them. I know I've attended different presentations from district attorney's offices that have warned about these programs. I don't evaluate any of these programs. I don't comment on it, but I have to say that, you know, you can, like we said, you can very easily check your title on your own. It takes 10 to 15 seconds. And then separately, if this notification program is approved, then we will be sending at least for sure a mailed notification or potentially an emailed notification.
Okay, well, keep me posted on SB 255. And you didn't say it, but I think those companies that are advertising checking your title are just a ripoff. And you got the link on my website, radiorealestate.com. Go to the podcast link, and it takes 10 seconds a week. I do it. Melinda does it. Melinda Green with an E has been my guest, the chief deputy clerk, recorder, assessor. Thanks for all the info. Always good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
Say hi to Joe Holland.
I will.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, and I'll tell you about a property tax postponement program. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.